Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. There are many more podcasts for this and all of our other faith radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast. NBA player and coach collapses and dies while having dinner at a restaurant. Was it a heart attack? Joining to help us understand some of the risk factors and the warning signs of heart disease is physical therapist and author Lisa Marone. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Bill. Great to be with you.
So this very sad story in the news last week, Sean Rooks, 46-year-old former NBA player and coach, may have died from heart disease when he collapsed at this restaurant in Philadelphia. No official cause of death has been announced, but the Philadelphia Public Health Department says heart disease may have been responsible. This guy, 6'10" center, played 12 seasons in the NBA. Lisa, it's always a shock to us, I think, when a professional athlete dies of a heart attack, and Sean Rooks, as I said, was only 46. Sometimes it turns out the person had some kind of undiagnosed heart defect, but in this case, it sounds like he may have had a history of heart disease. How do we explain situations like this? Is it likely that this was something that's genetic or lifestyle related or both?
Yeah, that's a great question. I spoke with a cardiologist about that because my family has a history on my dad's side of very early heart attacks. And he said, you know, it's more common than you would think that athletic people who are just out for a jog drop dead of a heart attack. And he said, really, lifestyle issues, you know, smoking or being overweight or eating bad foods, those don't start to show up in our cardiovascular health until we're about 60 years old and older. But when we're seeing people drop dead at 46 or what have you, they often have this familial history of a genetic predisposition towards cardiovascular disease. And the weird thing about this, or the thing that shocks us all, is we say, hey, these people are in great shape. How could their heart not be in great shape? But there's something that underlies genetic cardiovascular disease, and it's that we're prone to clotting within our arteries. And so if you're prone to clotting, then you won't know that unless you take some investigative steps, because your blood pressure might be normal. An athlete might even be lower than 120 over 80. They might be 110 over 70. They might have perfect cholesterol levels. They might have wonderful fats, high-density lipoproteins, which are good fats, and low-density lipoproteins, which are bad fats. They might look great on their blood work, but unless you've had a carotid artery study and someone has gone in with a sonogram and looked at how much plaquing is going on in the thick arteries within your neck, you may never know that you're kind of a ticking time bomb.
You know, and are those tests the most reliable? Is that what you really want to do, is have those tests that look specifically at the arteries and the blood flow? Is that pretty much the only way to find out whether or not you could be a candidate for a heart attack?
Yeah, you know, that's a very good way. When I went to the cardiologist, I'll just tell you briefly my family history. My grandfather on my father's side died of a sudden heart attack at 39. My father had a massive heart attack at 54 and another one at 59 and passed away. And so I was always wondering, my numbers look great. I'm not overweight. I don't smoke. Am I free and clear? And so I went to the cardiologist and asked that question, and he said, you're right. You know, he did an EKG. Everything looks tip-top shape, Lisa, but we don't know what your genetics are inside your body, whether you're already laying down plaque in your arteries. And so he had me do a few tests. He looked at my carotid arteries with a sonogram. He looked at the arteries within my brain, transcranial arteries, to see, am I plaquing in those arteries? Because that would make me more prone to stroke. And then he took a specific blood test called a highly specific or highly sensitive C-reactive protein test, which was indicative of whether or not the walls of my arteries were inflamed. And only when all of those things came back free and clear could he say, yes, you are clear. Genetically, you've not been passed on this issue, because I'm turning 50 in January. So he said, at this point, there would be plaquing in your arteries.
Well, that must have been very, very encouraging news, especially with that family history, to know that indeed at this point in your life that, you know, you are heart healthy.
It was. And I asked him, you know, doc, why is this not being done as a regular thing? You know, we get these colonoscopies at 50. Why aren't we looking at this? And he said, if it was up to me, we would. This is what I recommend to my patients when they come in and they show me that they've got a family history of heart disease, yet they're healthy and everything looks good. So this younger man, younger than me, 46 years old, I'm sure he was being tested. You know, as the season starts, they have these full workups, but I'm going to almost bet that he never had a carotid sonogram.
What is your opinion on the use of these statin drugs as a preventative measure for people that basically they've got a long history of, you know, genetic history of heart disease? It seems like in some cases, and I've known some people that have done this, Lisa, and you tell me what you think about this. They start taking these medications, which of course keep the clotting and the plaque, you know, build up from occurring. But then they go on to continue to eat badly. They eat high fat. They don't get enough exercise. Their lifestyle is very sedentary, but they say, hey, I'm taking this drug, so I'm okay. I mean, that seems to me to be a very self-destructive mindset.
Okay, so there's actually two different things that I want to address in there. The first is that statins are lifesavers. Not only do they prevent clotting and plaquing from occurring, but it also starts to clean up some of the plaquing that's in your arteries. And what my cardiologist had said to me was, listen, if you came in here and you had what they would call bad fat numbers, you know, my cholesterol's high, my ratios are poor, that sort of thing, I would instantly put you on a statin. But he said, listen, if your carotid sonogram comes back or your transcranial sonogram comes back and shows that you have plaquing and all of your numbers are perfect, I'm still putting you on a statin because they're proven that effective. And so it is very critical that you do take them. Now, this is a thing, Bill, and it's with cardiac medicine, and it's also, I see it all the time, with people who are diagnosed with high blood sugar and diabetes, and they're put on metformin, and they're like, I'm on this medicine, I will eat donuts. Oh. And, you know, those medicines are trying to basically catch up for all of the bad in the past and trying to protect you. If you continue to add bad onto it, what you're going to need is further and further higher dosages of these medicines, or they're just not going to be effective to you, so you're still going to have a heart attack even though you're taking a statin, or you're still going to have diabetic complications even though you're on metformin.
You'd be proud of me. I never eat donuts. Well, it's been probably a year.
I do occasionally. I think I have an apple cider donut in the fall when I go out pumpkin picking.
Now, I do like apple fritters, and they're just as bad, but I...
or worse.
There you go. We're talking to Lisa Marone, physical therapist, here on the Faith Radio Network. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
The Twin Cities' new home for Faith Radio, 90.7 FM, AM 900.
Good morning. It's 48 past the hour. This is Faith Radio. Bill Meyer with Lisa Marone. She's a physical therapist, an author, and a professor, and believes so strongly that all of us, as believers, followers of Jesus Christ, need to take care of the one body that God gave us and to be healthy for heaven's sake. And Lisa, WebMD ran an interesting article last week in which the editors listed 12 different clues that can tell you if you might have heart disease. And the first clue is something that you recently wrote about on your website, and that's sleep apnea. How is that related to heart disease?
Yeah, sleep apnea is something that's become more popularly known. When I started writing about it, it was really not mentioned at all. But what it is by definition, when you have sleep apnea, while you're sleeping, you either stop breathing completely for 10 seconds or more, periods of 10 seconds, or you have a decrease in the amount of oxygen you breathe in so that it's only maybe about 25% of what your body needs, again, for these 10-second periods. And when we have these either cessations of breathing, we're basically creating in our body something called oxidative stress. And oxidative stress has this effect on our cardiovascular system in that it actually begins to thicken the walls of our arteries. And so that creates more of a narrowed space for the blood to flow through. And it also increases the tone or the contraction of those vessels. And so they're being squeezed down tighter. And so if you think about trying your sweetheart trying to push blood through these thickened, tightened, congested areas, we're going to end up with high blood pressure. And we know this high blood pressure is feeding right into cardiovascular disease.
As you were describing that, my heart was already hurting. I mean, that just sounds terrible. In your article, you mentioned your father snored a lot when you were a girl, and you guys kind of thought it was funny, but then he died of a heart attack when he was 59. Do you think he may have suffered from sleep apnea?
Oh, absolutely. Now knowing what I know, you know, we just thought, oh, it was just this cacophony of funny sounds that, you know, as little kids, we just rolled on the floor when he fell asleep on the couch, you know. It was just side-splitting to us. But it's not a laughing matter now that I understand what it was. And back then, there even if he was diagnosed as such, there was no way to treat that back then. The machines that are used to treat sleep apnea now were just created, you know, just a few decades ago. And so it's really important that if you have a situation where people are telling you, not only do you snore terribly, but are you snoring and you're stopping and starting breathing, kind of gasping a little bit as you're sleeping, you may be completely unaware of this situation. But, Bill, when you have sleep apnea that is undiagnosed and untreated, you have a 20% greater risk for having heart disease. You have a 10% greater risk for having a stroke. You have increased risk of being in car accidents or in workplace accidents. And all you might know is when you wake up in the morning, you don't feel like you slept much. You just are tired all the time. You might fall asleep in front of the television. You might fall asleep at a red light, God forbid, while you're driving. And that's all you know. So if someone is telling you that in your family, you may want to go to the doctor and get this checked out.
Let's talk about some of the other clues that WebMD mentioned that could show a person is suffering from heart disease. One of those, and I saw a photograph of this on the WebMD website, is these yellow-orange bumpy rash dots around certain places in your body, like your knuckles and your toes. What could that indicate?
Yeah, they're saying that this has to do with heart disease. And quite frankly, I have not seen this in my patients. You know, 7 years of treating patients, I don't see this often. So this must not be such a super common example, and I do see my patient's skin all the time, so I don't see that too much. But there must be some type of eruption, and it might have to do with the cholesterol levels being high. A lot of times that'll actually embed itself in the upper skin level layers. There's another skin issue that the article shows, and it's darker velvety patches of skin, oftentimes on the neck and in the creases of your body, like your groin or your neck folds. Behind your knees, and I often see that in my diabetic populations. And so it's so interesting that the body's created in a way that we get these visual signs on the outside of our skin as to what, just to kind of give us some warning that things are not all right on the inside.
How about this one? Dark spots under your fingernails, if you haven't had, you know, some kind of blood blister. What does that mean?
Yeah, we're having a little bit of bleeds going on there, and so at the same time of heart, you know, when we think heart disease, high blood pressure is part of that. Just quickly, Bill, high blood pressure, why it's so dangerous to the heart, is the heart is basically a pump, and it has to pump blood into our arteries. And anything that's going to increase the pressure that it has to push that blood past is going to exhaust the heart. And so when that happens, when we have high blood pressure, we're going to start to see the tiniest vessels in our bodies called our capillaries, which is really the junction point between our oxygenated arteries and our deoxygenated veins going back to the heart. And those will kind of burst, if you would. And so that's why you'll see those dark. Dark is basically blood that's old. And so you're going to see this little bursting occasionally at the fingertips under the nails.
Lisa, 4th of July coming up, Independence Day weekend, and I saw a news story showing that there's often a large spike in heart attacks after the 4th of July. Do the researchers have any idea why that happens?
Yeah, it's actually not that the heart attacks are happening after the holidays. You think, oh, I've just done myself in, I ate too much. But what's happening in these visits to the ER that are being documented is that people are having heart attacks on the holidays, starting to get their heart attack symptoms, but not wanting to bother their family, not wanting to ruin the day, and they wait until the day after, and they go, you know what, this is not going away. I've had an awful night, you know, July 4th until July 5th, say, and then they show up in the ER. And so they're seeing less visits to the ER on the 4th and more on the 5th, and the same with every holiday.
And I heard also some people just assume, well, I won't be able to reach my doctor. It's a holiday. I'll just wait. And boy, if you have those symptoms of a heart attack, don't wait, right? Get to the ER.
Right. You know, you are probably correct. Your doctor is at some barbecue, but the hospital is fully staffed. So the ER is fully staffed. Some of these kind of stat health places are likely open. So if you're feeling the symptoms, now symptoms could be pressure in your chest. It could be nausea. It might very much seem like you're having an acid reflux sort of thing going on. But if you start feeling like sweaty, you might feel a little nauseous. You might get pain down your arm. Women often get pain up into their neck, their jawline, even aching in their teeth. Something is not right, and the sooner, the better.
Boy, you do not want to come out of that 4th of July weekend finding out that you had a heart attack and you waited and the damage has been done. Lisa Marone,
yeah,
as always.
Yeah, that's a whole other type of firework going on.
Yeah, oh, man, you're not kidding. Lisa, thank you so much for your time today. We always appreciate your great insights. You can find out about Lisa at lisamarone.com. Have a great day, Lisa.
Thank you. You as well.
56 minutes past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, you can visit our program page at myfaithradio.com.